changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Yeah, so share with me your thoughts on this 10-part series that I'm concluding today, Dropping Stress and Gaining Focus. I want to do a bit of a summary, and I also want to encourage you today to adopt this as a practice, to pick something and do it for, guess what, 21 consecutive days, no matter what. So to recap, mindfulness is not about having a lot of things in your mind such that your mind is full. Mindfulness is being present to what is, regardless of what is going on around you or what is going on in your past or what is going to happen in your future. It is being present to what is and trusting your future self to handle what comes. What is distracting us or detracting us from being mindful? Well, these things, first and foremost, they are the world's. Everything is both a blessing and a curse. And they are definitely a blessing, our phones, and they are definitely a curse. And so are our Apple Watches and our Google Glasses and everything else. So they are designed to give us the same dopamine hit that we get when we play a slot machine. Our phones are, by sending us alerts and notifications. We get the exact same dopamine hit that we get if we're in Las Vegas and we're playing the slot machines and we're getting close or we're actually winning a little bit. It's the exact same dopamine hit. So we've got these things that we carry with us all the time that are there trying to get us not to be present to where we are. And the way to overcome this is to select one or more practices. And I call them practices because just like a doctor is still practicing after 40 years, they're trying to get better. They're trying to do better in their profession. The same is true for us. That to become more mindful is a daily practice. It is something that we put forth effort into, and it creates the byproduct of us feeling more mindful. Now, when we are mindful, we are less stressed. What does that mean? That means that we are not pumping the stress hormone cortisol into our bloodstream. The media wants us stressed. Politicians want us stressed. Politicians want us full of cortisol. If we are pissed off, it is far easier to lead us. Think about the people storming the Capitol that day on January 6th, 1 year ago today, which was the most horrifying thing I have seen in my life. I sat there literally in tears watching this. When you get people angry and upset, then you can lead them, then you can move them. And the same is true for you and me. And so politics, social media, they are all trying to enrage and engage us. Therefore, the more we unplug, the less control they have over us, and the easier it is for us to be more mindful. Make sense? Good. I see your thumbs up in your hearts. Thank you very much. I know that you all are with me. Over the years, because the thing that has allowed human beings, this brand of human beings, we call ourselves human beings, but 10,000 years ago, there were six different Homo sapien types around, Homo sapien, Homo erectus, et cetera, et cetera. We developed the prefrontal cortex, the part in the brain which literally allows us to see into the future, to think about the future. Dogs don't have that, you know. Dogs are in the moment, but we have that. Now, because we have that, we are able to collaborate with other people, and we are able to build societies and build our lives in the directions we want to build them. But because of that, we also have the capacity to project fear and uncertainty into the future. that fear and uncertainty because of our ego tells us that we are preparing for that future, that by thinking about that fearful thing, we are preparing. Now, if that makes sense, great. Think about it one time, prepare and let it go for that potential outcome. But that's not what we do. We tend to loop things over and over in our head. So all of this combines to create this feeling of the way I like to think about it is stomping an accelerator in a car and at the same time stomping a clutch. And so we're just revved up all the time. And I know that I have been most of my life. The way to overcome this is to develop one or more mindfulness practices. And the thing about a practice is you must practice every day. I was journaling one time and I realized that a spiritual master is someone who has learned to master their spirit. That we all have that Mr. Hyde inside of us. Remember we talked about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We all have that ego. We all have that wounded, angry, Wolverine-like self. All of us inside of us. And when we learn to master and to tame that, that is when we are able to live happier and healthier. The other important thing about mindfulness is that we need to focus in the direction we want to go in our lives. I remember I had so many traffic problems when I first learned to drive that my dad hired a driving instructor, which was great because my dad would have just yelled at me the whole time. And the driving instructor told me as we were driving, he says, "Where are you looking right now?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm looking here." And I told him, he says, "Okay, I want you to look to the left side of the road." And we're just looking. The car moved to the left. He says, "Okay, now look straight, look straight, look straight ahead. Now look a little to the right." And the car moved that way. And I've realized that that's how our lives are. And that we have this squirrel, you know, constant shiny object syndrome. So we need to learn to teach our minds to sit and to stay. All of these ideas, these vision boards and goal setting and everything is worthless if you can't keep your focus 100% on that outcome rather than fearing that the outcome will not happen. When you focus on the outcome, you attract it to you. When you focus on the obstacles or how it might not happen, you create obstacles and you cause things not to happen. All of that comes around to say that we've got to teach this thing, and this is something that is not taught in Western cultures. In Eastern cultures, they are raised with meditation, with sitting in silence, with focusing on one thing. His Holiness the Dalai Lama, he focuses on compassion. He meditates, meditates, I think it's 4 hours every morning. He gets up and starts meditating at 4 and meditates until 8. And he does the general breathing meditations and some of the meditations we've talked about. And ultimately, he just meditates on compassion. What would it mean to just for the world to be filled with compassion, for him to be filled with compassion? What is compassion? Where is compassion felt in the body? What does it mean to live compassionately? That can be a practice as well. The main thing is to do the one thing that your mind and your ego do not want you to do. And that is to, as I shared the other day, don't just do something. Sit there. Don't just do something. Sit there. The other day, I had gotten to where, and I'm sure you do this too in your home. You set something down and then you set something down in another room and you set something down in another room before you realize that you've got clutter and you want to go around, pick stuff up, put it in its right place. And I needed to meditate. I hadn't done my meditation. And my mind was like, yes, but you'll feel so much happier if you go and you put your glasses away on the dresser. And I'm like, that's not true. But I went and put my glasses away rather than meditating. I still got myself to do it. I still got myself to do it. So Meditation, most people say that they would like to integrate meditation and mindfulness into their life. Most people say that. There have been studies. It's like 60%. Somewhere around 20 to 30% of people will attempt it in a year, and almost all of them will give it up. Almost everyone will give it up. Why? Because number one, your brain is fighting you on it. Number two, the progress is slow. And number three, it's difficult. And if you can embrace those things going in, it's like when I had my shoulder surgery, my rotator cuff surgery, I said to my doctor when we scheduled it, he said, "Do you have any questions?" I said, "Yes, two. Is this going to hurt? And is this going to take a long time to heal?" And he said, "Yes, to both of those. It's going to hurt a lot." And it's, that helped me prepare. Okay. Helping to prepare you by letting you know that meditation and mindfulness is challenging and difficult, and that your brain is not going to say, "Yay." What your brain is going to do is slowly over time, you're going to feel like you own it more. You control it more. I don't know. I know Linda can relate to this. I hope not, actually. But I mean, we used to have horses, and I used to have horses, and my horse Shadow one time got his bit in his teeth and took off in a gallop. And that feeling of being totally out of control on a horse and just wanting to stay on is very relatable and a good metaphor for most of our brains, right? It's just going crazy all of the time. When you begin to establish a mindfulness practice, you are exercising control over your brain. You're telling it to sit and to stay. You are giving it something to focus on. That's why if you look back on any of the techniques I've taught you over the last 4 to 5 jump starts, you will find some or something that you can put into practice. One of the simplest but most difficult I find is mindfulness walking. And you don't have to go on a 2.5 mile walk. You can walk down the lane to get the mail. You can walk 200 yards up the street and back. However, be only present to what is present. Don't listen to your phone. Don't take your phone. Don't judge anything. Don't ask yourself what kind of a plant that is. Don't ask yourself why there are no iguana in this area for me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just keep walking and observe, observe, observe. You will find that doing this, your breathing will become, it'll go from to and it will do it of its own accord. It will do it of its own accord. So, the first of the year, what is going to be your meditation practice, and how are you going to assure your mindfulness practice, and how are you going to assure that you get it done? Remember we talked about the power of the post-it note? Linda, I think it was, sent me a really nice email about that. Yes, it was Linda, about the power of the post-it note. I have post-it notes around to remind myself to do things. More importantly, I have on my phone at 3 p.m. every day, blocked out, meditate. What does that mean? That means that clients and potential clients for me speaking who want to talk to me about upcoming events or the possibility of hiring me, they can't call me from 3 until 3:30. That means that because it blocks it out in my schedule, so people cannot call me. I have a reminder on one of my Amazon devices to tell me to do this. You, no matter how excited and how committed you are now, that commitment is going to fade. Period. Full stop. If you can get yourself up to go running, because I used to run before I lost the cartilage in my knees. If you can get yourself up to run and everything, you'll eventually begin to love the benefits of running, but you still won't like lacing up the shoes and going out. I was talking to somebody the other day and we talked about hating that first mile. You always hate the first mile. After that, it's great. You're always going to feel about meditation or about mindfulness the first little bit as you try it. I give myself permission for the first 10 minutes for my brain to go bing, 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 bing everywhere. And then I slowly begin to welcome it back. Remember, welcome it back and then have something to ground it. That's the important thing. So how about it? What have you gotten over the last 10 jump starts? Do you feel like you have learned the benefits of incorporating a mindfulness practice? Do you understand the things that are blocking you from incorporating a mindfulness practice? Have you chosen something you're going to do? And are you willing to commit to it for 21 consecutive days? I want you starting right now. That will be through the 26th or 27th, actually, of January. Pick something and do it every single day. Just give yourself an experiment. I'm going to do this. Go back and look at a previous jumpstart if you need reminders or if you need explanations of techniques.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing.